As the first child of my generation in a large extended family, I benefited from a unique method of child rearing. It certainly defied the conventional wisdom at that time. From the day I was born, each member of my family was determined to help me focus on what I did best. They provided constant support and encouragement. By the time I turned 4, my mother and grandmother had spotted my keen interest in reading, so they would sit with me for hours on end, helping me learn to read. This teaching, nurturing, and attention made a real difference. Whenever relatives dropped by, they would ask what I was reading or pose specific questions about the activities I enjoyed. It is now easy to see they were looking for early cues to my natural yearnings and talents. The minute my family noticed my passion in a certain area, they encouraged me to learn as much as possible on that topic. They were never shy with their praise and always quick to compliment even the smallest accomplishments. Then, when I was about 8 or 9, the bucket fillers who surrounded me noticed my entrepreneurial spirit, and they could tell that I enjoyed leading my peers. So when I was 10, my grandfather, Don, suggested starting my own business. I loved the idea and decided to open a snack stand. As always, the rest of my family was thrilled to help me pursue a new passion, and they rallied around this project. After a few months, this little enterprise was doing well. Biz Kids had enough business to move beyond buy-in from the local wholesale club, and a major candy distributor agreed to give our company a bulk rate and deliver to our location. We eventually moved beyond snacks, expanding into selling apparel and small merchandise. By the time I was 12, the operation employed more than 20 of my classmates, and we had made a couple $1,000s in real profit to share amongst ourselves. After a few years in business, this story landed on the cover of the local newspaper and was picked up by national newswires. All of the caring, attention, and genuine bucket filling were making a major difference in my life. My bucket was overflowing, and this allowed me to concentrate on filling the buckets of everyone around me. At the end of each month, I would give out awards and commission checks based on how much each person had sold. It was fun to watch as my own bucket filling lifted the spirits of my friends, family members, and very young coworkers. This focus on positive encouragement continued throughout my education. My parents asked about my favorite classes and extracurricular activities on a daily basis. And instead of dipping from my bucket when I wasn't doing well in music or art courses, they encouraged me to focus more time on the areas that gave me personal satisfaction. They noticed that I was quite analytical and enjoyed numbers and current events, so they recommended that I spend more time studying mathematics and the social sciences. Even though I was already an A student in those areas, my family realized there would be a much greater return on my education if I devoted more time to the subjects for which I had a natural passion. Unlike most of my teachers and my friends' parents, my parents were not determined to make me well-rounded. Given that my rhythm seems to have been surgically removed at birth, they understood that pushing me to be a better musician was fruitless. I might get to average at best. A popular saying in my home was this age-old maxim: never try and teach a pig to sing. It wastes your time and it annoys the pig. As a young student, I found this quite liberating. I didn't have to try and be good at everything. Instead, I was able to strive for greatness in my areas of natural talent.
A safe and welcoming home.
In contrast to my own home, I recall how strange it felt when I visited a friend's house in grade school. We would walk in the door, filled with after-school energy, and the first thing his mother would say was always along the lines of, "Did I say you could have a friend over again? Did you get in trouble at school again? Or, you better not have flunked that test." Maybe what she said was warranted sometimes, but I was amazed that the first thing out of his mom's mouth was always so negative. Another one of my classmates would arrive home each day to find a handwritten list of negative notes on her bed with phrases like, "You need to improve your attitude." These were not very welcoming environments, especially when I was used to going to my house and hearing things like, "How was school today? What do you feel like doing this afternoon? Do you want to show me any of the work that you did today? Or, did you guys get to play basketball in gym class today?" Which my mom knew was our favorite sport. At first, I thought these friends must have had troubled families. But over time, I found out this was common. In hindsight, I wonder if this explains why my friends and I spent so much time at my house while growing up. When we were there, our buckets were filled with positive support and encouragement. My house was a kind of home base where we could go to refuel on positive emotions before returning to the negativity-laden real world.